Stand together for the reading of God's holy word and turn your Bibles to the book of Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. All right, look there at verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Let's pray.
Thank you, Brother Chandler. Tonight's a special service, as I mentioned earlier, in that it combines a high school commencement as well as the regular service. It's special for me because I not only have the privilege of standing here as the pastor of the church, but also as the parent of the graduate. And yes, I do feel old. I'm glad my wife is so young. It makes me feel much younger. You know, homeschool graduations are always interesting. For one thing, you only usually just need four or five notes of pomp and circumstance and everyone's sitting down when they're coming down. And for another thing, you don't have to worry about parking or traffic afterwards, nor do you have to wait through 300 other people pretending like you're interested before they finally get to your graduate. You know, it's homeschool life is interesting. And I found this years ago, and some of you have heard this before, but here's a list of things you might be homeschooled if. All right, you might be homeschooled if someone asks you what grade you're in and you're not sure. If you sometimes go to school in your pajamas. If you sometimes sleep in on school days but get up early on Sunday. Your birthday is a school holiday. You don't get to stay home from school when you're sick. One of your favorite activities is reading. You get science credit for going to the dentist. You might be homeschooled if you go to the park for PE. Or you check out at least 10 books every time you go to the library. That's the truth. You check if you've ever attempted to teach yourself physics. If you get books and science kits for your birthday. If you can quote Shakespeare but not South Park. If the only bully you run into is your older brother or sister. Your school bus is a minivan and you get extra credit for cleaning your room. And then you might be a home educator, might be the parent, if you really live in a one-house schoolroom or your walls are covered with maps and timelines, you have mold growing in your fridge on purpose, your house is a little messy but your kids are happy, you shop for birthday presents at educational stores, your friends don't want to help you move because you have too many books. This is true. You get nervous what people will say when you take your kids to the store in the middle of the day. Why aren't your kids in school? You're sick and tired of answering the question, what about socialization? For your wedding anniversary, you decide to splurge and get a photocopier. You might be homeschooling. Some days you learn as much as your students. You're on a first-name basis with the local librarian. And a parent-teacher conference is talking to yourself. Well, the Bible says the desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. And I'm very proud of Elizabeth. We all are. And her hard work, her mother's hard work, I have not participated much in the homeschooling process myself, as usually mom's job. She's the one that takes care of that in most homeschool situations. And I've helped in some small ways, like grading certain papers and things like that. But my wife is the one who's put the hours in homeschooling, and I appreciate that. It's not easy to be a pastor's wife. To be a pastor's wife in a church you're starting and trying to build up, and then to be a pastor's wife in a church you're starting and building up with four kids you're homeschooling, that's a monumental task. And I appreciate all her work over the last 12 years. A commencement is not an ending, but a beginning. The high school career will end with the receiving of a paper diploma. but it's truly the commencement of another set of experiences and challenges in life. I want to speak to you tonight, not just to our one graduate, but to everybody, about the pursuit of good success. The pursuit of good success. We know that Joshua was facing his ultimate life's work. Joshua was not 17 years old, just out of high school and deciding what to do with his life. Joshua was well into his 80s. He had been in Egypt, and then he'd come out with Moses and had spent 40 years in the wilderness. And now, perhaps in his 80s at least, Moses has died and Joshua has to step in to his shoes. But actually, Joshua didn't have to step into Moses' shoes, but into his own shoes. This was God's will for Joshua's life. And as he's come into the land of Canaan and sees the great walled city of Jericho, and he knows that within that city are fierce defenders, and beyond that city are more cities and giants, and battle after battle awaiting him, we can surely understand that he must have felt the pressure and the responsibility of over 3 million people and the great task of settling them in a strange land. There was much to do, much to achieve, and much to possess for Joshua. This was his ultimate life's work, and God promised him that he could have good success. I want you to consider three thoughts tonight, and I'll not be long. Little boy said, Mom, why does the preacher take his watch off and set it on our pulpit? What does that mean? She said, nothing. Doesn't mean. No, I'll not be long this evening. I want you to consider three thoughts on good success. First, the priorities of good success. You have to choose the right kind of success. God didn't just promise any kind of success. He promised good success. If God has to qualify it as good success, then that must mean that there are certain kinds of successes that are not necessarily good, or your life's purpose. You know, think about Moses. He could have been a success in Egypt. He was raised as Pharaoh's daughter and was, according to historians, was next in line to the throne to be the next Pharaoh of Egypt. He had all the wealth and the education and the pleasures of sin at his fingertips, and all that men wanted, Moses could have had. And yet when Moses came of years, and in our society, usually graduating high school is considered coming of years. You are usually, Beth is only 16, I have to keep reminding her of that. But when you graduate high school, people expect you to act like an adult. You have come to years. And when Moses had come to years, he instead of identifying himself with Egypt and Pharaoh and the things of this world and the pleasures of sin, he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. And he chose the reproach of Christ over the treasures of Egypt. Was Moses a failure because he spent the rest of his life wandering in the wilderness and all of his earthly possessions inside a tent out in the desert and dying on a mountainside somewhere when he could have had all the wealth and the success that the world had to offer? No, Moses was a success because he did the will of God for his life. Think about Jesus during his time of temptation. Satan took Jesus up on a mountainside, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. I believe that Jesus would have seen the Roman Empire and its power, and would have seen the empires of China and all over the world, in Egypt and Babylon and all the great kingdoms and the Persians, and saw all of it in its splendor. And Satan said to Jesus, I'll give you all of this if you'll just fall down and worship me. He offered him success, but not good success. And Jesus, of course, said, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God only. And of course, we understand that success for Jesus was not claiming the world at that time, but success for Jesus was going to the cross and dying for our sins and rising again to provide salvation for our souls. Wise is the person who has enough discernment to recognize that there are bigger and more important things in life than simply making a living or earning an income or achieving something in the world's eyes, when God made us for so much more. Consider Paul. Paul had a great deal of success before he got saved. He was a famous rabbi. He was a real up-and-comer, rising through the ranks as a young man. He had taken the Sanhedrin by storm, was one of the youngest men there, educated under the great Gamaliel, the great Jewish teacher. brilliant, accomplished, the Pharisee of the Pharisees, Hebrew of the Hebrews, successful in the eyes of his peers, with a long career ahead of him, perhaps not wealth involved, but certainly would have appealed to the pride of life to be a great man among his people. And yet in Philippians 3, Paul said, "What things were gained to me, those things I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." Understand that every kind of success is not good success, and you have to decide your priorities. Moses chose the reproach of Christ. Jesus chose the will of the Father. Paul chose the will of God. None of them chose what the world would call success. Moses died and God buried him. No one even knows where he was buried. No tombstone for Moses. Moses died and all he left behind was a tent full of stuff. He was not considered wealthy by this world's standards. When Jesus died on the cross, all he possessed was the coat on his back and the Roman soldiers gambled for it. When Paul died, all he left was the books that God used him to write and churches and Christians everywhere that he won to Christ. He left behind no material wealth that we are aware of. He chose the will of God. Good success is doing the will of God for your life, no matter what that is. As I've said 100,000 times, I guess, not everyone's called to be a preacher. Not everyone's called to serve God full time. And some of you, for success for you is to be an engineer. And to honor God through your career, and to raise your family, and to love Jesus Christ, and to serve Him. For some, the will of God for your life is to be a homemaker, and to honor God in your home. For some, is to be a salesman, and to honor God through your sales and through your business. And then for some, it's God's will for us to be preachers or missionaries, and to honor Him in that regard. But the most important thing is to know the will of God for your life, and to do that will of God, because that is good success. To do that, you have to beware of insignificant successes that keep you from good success. Some success is far less important than other kinds of success. And people have a tendency to get their lives all wrapped up in things that really don't matter. And in 10 years or 15 years, it's not going to matter a hill of beans to you. But you're all wrapped up in it today. And I'm not against little pastimes, obviously, and entertainments and things that we do for fun. But I'll tell you something. If God has a purpose for your life, you ought to focus on your purpose. And not get sidetracked on things that are not going to matter in the long run. Yes, I'm happy you achieved level 60 on Angry Bird. That's an amazing achievement. But I tell you, there's a lot bigger things than that. And there's bigger things than sports, and there's bigger things than academics, and there's bigger things than getting a plaque to hang on the wall, and there's bigger things than hunting, and there's bigger things than fishing, and there's bigger things than that classic car you always wanted. There is the will of God for your life. Good success. We have to decide the right priorities. Early on in my life, I decided what was most important for me. It was easier because I got saved as a teenager and God called me to preach at 17. And it was not hard at that time. Instead of wasting years wandering around trying to figure out what I was going to do, I knew what God wanted me to do. And I hope that over the last 21 years, people would say He's lived on purpose. And, you know, you've got to decide some principles in your life. You've got to decide some priorities for your life. My priorities are my marriage, my children, my church. And these things are top in my life. They're not secondary issues for me. Boy, there's so many people, they have their career and their family is way down at the bottom end of the totem pole. Well, I know a man has to work, provide for his family, and I respect men that work, provide for their families. But some men would rather work overtime because they're scared to go home and spend time with their kids. And we've got to have our priorities set. Now, I told my daughter this, but I'm very proud of her academic achievement. Graduating top of her class, that's awesome. Valedictorian, salutatorian, voted most likely to succeed in her class. But I tell you, I'm far prouder of the person that she is than her GPA. I don't expect, Mike, don't listen to this joke, plug your ears. I don't expect my kids to make perfect grades. Oh, rats. He heard it. I mean, there's got to be one dumb one in the family. I'm kidding, Joseph. But no, I don't expect my kids to make perfect grades, but I do want them to have godly character. godly character. I'm far more impressed by the fact that my daughter is respectful to adults and is good with other people and has a good work ethic and a helpful spirit and a sweet spirit and a positive outlook. I'm far more impressed with that than with the GPA. Now she says, now you tell me. But my point is that there's a priority. When our children were small, I had a priority that I wanted my kids as much as we could influence them to grow up to be right and to be godly and to have character and to be the right kind of people. Right kind of people. So good success is doing the will of God. And so you have to decide what your priorities are. What is good success? What is not good success? What is most important? What is not the most important? So why are we wasting so much time on things that are really not most important? All right, secondly, notice the pathway of good success. The pathway of good success. First, you have to cross your Jordan. Joshua 1:2. God said to Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people. Now transition times can be exciting, but also scary. But you know, with our kids, they can't barricade them in our houses the rest of their lives and keep them under lock and key. You know, sooner or later, there are transition times, and we have to face those with courage and cross over our Jordan rivers. You don't build a ship to sit at the dock. It might be safer at the dock, but that's not why ships are built. And, you know, I want my kids to grow up and have a life of their own. I don't want them to hang around my house forever. Now, I can be gruff with my kids, and I tease them. But the fact is, when they were very small, I realized one day they're going to grow up and leave. And I made peace with that way back yonder. I don't want them to stay with us forever, and I don't want to keep them under my thumb. I'm trying to raise them up so they can grow up and be adults and the apron strings and be what God wants them to be and live their lives. And soon as we go through this experience of raising our kids, there's Jordan River. There's me letting her drive for the first time with a crash helmet on. And there's graduation, and there's college, and there's first dates, and there's getting married, and all these things. But instead of being in fear and having no courage to face transition times, we have to trust God and cross our Jordans. And then secondly, you have to go get what you want. In verse 3, he said, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. In other words, Joshua, you can have everything you go step on. So you got to get out there and walk and war and work to claim what I'm giving you. There's so many people, they want to sit around on the banks of the Jordan and wait everyone to bring everything to them. That's not how you find good success. You've got to go get what you want. Success comes to those who work. Success comes to those who walk. Success comes to those who are willing to grind away at it day after day after day, month after month, year after year. Success does not come overnight. It doesn't come with a FedEx overnight shipment. It comes after long, excessive labor to find good success. Some people spend their whole lives wishing. Oh, I wish I had this and I wish I had that. Some spend their whole lives waiting. Well, one day my ship's going to come in. And others spend their whole lives working. Guess which ones find good success? It is true, no matter what you want to be in life, whether you're going to be a policeman, whether you're going to be able to start your own business, whether you're going to be in the ministry, whether you're going to be an electrician or a plumber or a contractor, success or a parent or a doctor, whatever. Success comes when we grind away and work and work and work and walk and claim what God has given us. You got to go get it. You got to go get it. There's so many people today. One problem in our country is the entitlement mentality. Give me what I want, just because I want it, instead of going out and earning it and getting it for yourself. You've got to go get it for yourself. That might mean 4 years of college, or years of apprenticeship, or years of living on Ramen noodles, or years of living on crackers and a jelly while you establish a business, or it might mean years of postgraduate school, or working overtime, or two jobs. Whatever it takes to get success, you've got to get out there and walk until you find it. And you've got to work at it until you find it. You've got to earn it. And then when you've earned it, you will appreciate what you have. And then you have to be strong in adversity. Verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Now, God doesn't say no one will stand before you. He just said they won't be able to stand before you. There's going to be adversity in anything that you do. And good success comes to those who press on. The Lord Jesus set the example in Hebrews 12. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Even Jesus, as he was going toward that course of providing salvation for us, he met much opposition, had to resist even unto blood. Yet he kept his eyes on the prize and continued pressing forward and died for our sins. You have to be willing to take adversity, and then you have to stay within God's guidelines. Verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. You've got to stay within the lines that God has laid down. Joshua is going to be busy, busy, busy. Can you imagine dealing with 3 million people? That's three cities of Dallas. What a responsibility, taking them to war. And yet he's to take time to meditate on God's Word day and night. How busy are we that we can't take time to meditate on what God said? Now the world will mock our obedience to the Scriptures. So what? Remember where Job got to where he started criticizing God's decisions, and God finally came down and gave him a pop test on how to run the universe? 100 questions. Job wrote his name at the top. God started asking questions. Where were you when I founded the earth? Where were you when I hung the stars? And on and on and on. Where were you when I set all this in motion and decided all of these things and set every aspect of the universe in its place? And Job just sitting quietly, he got his name at the top and every question wrong. He had no answers because God is the one who runs the universe and not us. And it was humbling to Job to realize that God's ways were higher than his ways. And hey, you may think I'm dumb, and that's fine. I am dumb sometimes, but this is the Word of God. And God's ways are far above our ways, and I simply trust what God said. And by the way, the proof's in the pudding most of the time. And if you like the cake, don't criticize my recipe. Amen. Now, you've got to live your life according to God's commandments if you want to have good success. You'll prosper as you follow the Word of God. So you see the priority of success, the pathway of success. Thirdly, the possession of good success. Verse 8 said, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You will have good success as you follow the pathway that God lays down. You know, there are in the path of life, there are many smaller successes, and they're enjoyable. For example, graduating high school. That's a success. But it's not the end of the journey. Goodness, I graduated high school and I hardly remember it, except it was outside and really hot. There will be other successes after that. But the possession of good success at the end of life, to have done the will of God. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4, I am now ready to be offered. Boy, how many people come to the end of their life and to their deathbed and they say, oh, I wish I'd done this and I wish I'd done that. And they're full of nothing but regrets. But Paul had no regrets at the end of his life. He said, I'm ready to be offered. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. He was about to possess good success. Jesus said in Matthew 25, 21, he'll say unto the faithful servant, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. That is good success. Good success. The priorities, the pathway, the possessions.